And his wife is not able to be here. She's over in Kenya still. But he's going to be able to present the work and the ministry that God's called him to and give an opportunity for some questions. His sending church is Maguanago Baptist Church in Wisconsin, which is where Tim and Christy, Tim's dad, is pastoring there. So there's the connection. So Tim referred him to us, and we're really glad to have him and enjoyed getting to know him better last night, and looking forward to the presentation today. So without further ado, I'll invite you to come, brother.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Yes, what a blessing it is to be here today and to be able to present our ministry in Kenya, East Africa. And as Pastor mentioned, my name is Daniel Simonson, a deputation missionary with Baptist World Mission. And I'm just really excited about all the potential that is in Kenya for the gospel. And happy to share that with you this morning. I do bring greetings as well from my wife, and she would have loved to be here today. But as Pastor mentioned, we are working on getting her spousal visa to be able to come to the States. And I remember when we were engaged, just telling everybody that, you know, getting a visa into America is going to be very easy because I'm a dual citizen of Kenya and America, etc. Little did I know that it is a process, but we are working through that. And so pray for us to be able to get that visa. But as I begin this morning, before we take a look at the video, let me just introduce Kenya to you. And Kenya is a wonderful place to live in. There are over 40 game parks and animal reserves in Kenya where you can go on safari and see many different wild animals in Kenya. And we have the big five there, lions, elephants, leopards, rhinos, and buffaloes, just to name a few of the many animals that you can see there. But if you are to take a missions trip someday, perhaps to Kenya, and go on safari, be sure to avoid the two most dangerous animals in Kenya. The first is the hippopotamus. And if the hippo gets angry at you for some reason and begins charging at you, it can get up to 19 miles an hour. So be sure to avoid the hippo. And the other very dangerous animal in Kenya is the mosquito as well. And so be sure to avoid those animals there. But safaris are a lot of fun. The weather is beautiful in Kenya. People usually ask me, you know, because Kenya is in Africa and it's on the equator, therefore, it must be very hot, like all the time. And the answer is no. Kenya is a fairly mild climate, especially the central regions of the country. We average 70, 75 degrees Fahrenheit, January to December. And so now if some of you are feeling called to the mission field, then you come and we'll get you involved right there in Kenya. But we're so thankful to be there. And just a few fun facts about Kenya. I was looking up some different things about Kenya's economy and some different things that they export. Kenya is a major agricultural society. Of course, a lot of tourism as well. But Kenya exports 60 million flower stems every day to Europe and the Middle East and different countries around the world. Now, that's a major export for us. Of course, a lot of tea and coffee in Kenya and gets exported out as well over there. In terms of food, we have a lot of beef, chicken, and pork, and actually goat meat is a delicacy in Kenya. And so all those things are there. A lot of fresh fruits and vegetables in Kenya year-round. Lots of pineapples and mangoes and watermelons and so many different things there. It's funny, at the same time, we do have some American fast food chains that are coming into Kenya. Things like KFC and Domino's and Pizza Hut, they're all coming in there. Burger King is very common. No McDonald's or any of that yet, but that's fine. But they're all coming into Kenya. In terms of our governments, Kenya has elections every 5 years instead of every 4 years. And Kenya used to also be a British colony. And we got independence in 1963. And so a lot of good amount of time there as a free nation. Kenya has been in the news some recently regarding some protests and different things that have been going on there. That has died down, thankfully. And Kenya has historically been a peaceful country. We've never had a civil war, per se, compared to different other African countries there. But Kenya's generally been a peaceful country and very open to the spreading of the gospel. In fact, our president there is one of the most religious presidents that Africa as a whole has ever seen. And he's kind of known for that. And a very, very favorable to Christianity and to churches being there. Missionaries can go into Kenya as missionaries and be able to preach the gospel with a lot of freedom. And so we are really thankful for just the freedom and the opportunities that abound in Kenya. And in Kenya, the two main languages that we speak there are English and Swahili. And if some of you have passed by our table in the lobby back there, there's a Swahili Bible for you to look at there. But there are a number of different languages and dialects in Kenya, but the main ones are English and Swahili. And if you were to walk down the streets of Nairobi today and greet someone, you would say, Habari, and that means, how are you? And they would say, Nzuri sana, or very good. And then if you were to ask them, Je, umeokoka, in other words, have you been saved? They would often tell you, Ndio, kwa sababu nilibatizwa kama mtoto. In other words, yes, I'm saved, because I was baptized as a child. The next person would often tell you, yes, I'm saved today. In other words, who knows about tomorrow or the next day or next week, and there's no assurance there. And they would often tell you that I go to confession every week to make sure that I'm right with God and on my way to heaven. The next person would tell you, yes, I'm saved because God saved me from a terrible accident many years ago, so I know I'm going to heaven. The next person would tell you, yes, I'm saved because I'm in church every Sunday and I pray every day and I read my Bible. Kenya is a very religious country. So many people, in fact, the majority of the 56 million people who live in Kenya would tell you that, yes, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. And they do so many different religious deeds, but so many confused about what real Christianity is. There's a lot of major religions in Kenya, Catholicism, Pentecostalism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Lutherans, Mormonism, all of it. It's all there and all rampant in Kenya. At the same time, there are people who will go to the witch doctor to perform different rituals for them. And it's all demonic. It's all of the devil. And we really feel burdened for Kenya and seeing people brought out of religion and into a true relationship with Jesus Christ. And there's a big difference between the two. And so that is our plan there, to see people reached, to see people brought out of so much of what they do, thinking that they're fine. Yet they have never accepted Christ as Savior. As a newborn baby in Kenya, I was abandoned in a hospital there in Nairobi and then taken to a children's orphanage there in the city. And then when I was 8 months old, I was adopted by Dr. Rick and Sue Simonson, and they've been missionaries in Kenya now for 36 years and still there faithfully serving the Lord. And so I'm thankful that the Lord gave me the opportunity to be raised in a Christian home and heard the gospel and was saved as a seven-year-old boy there in Kenya. And my wife also had the blessing of being raised in a Christian home. She was saved at the age of 9 at Vacation Bible School. And her older sister led her to Christ there at the end of VBS. And then God brought us together, and we went to Bible college there together and really got a burden for church planting, being in mission specifically there in Kenya and serving the Lord there. And so we are really burdened for really the central regions of Kenya and seeing churches started there. But our goal is not necessarily to start a church and stay there, but rather to start churches and see them turned over to national leadership, and see Kenyans fired up about church planting as well, and seeing churches started in their home areas and all of that. And so there are a good number of Bible-believing Baptist churches in Kenya, but still some very large parts of the country which have nothing, and no good Bible-believing churches like this one. And so we are really burdened for those areas specifically. And we've been working recently with my parents in a church there that we started as a family 8 years ago. But really the regions west of there is what we are targeting for the future, and seeing churches started. And really we are all about church planting. And I'm so thankful to be with Baptist World Mission as well, because they have a strong emphasis on the local church and seeing that go forward and seeing more and more churches started. So I'm going to go ahead and pause right there, and I'll go ahead and show the video. It's about 5 to 6 minutes long, and then I'll come back up here and say a few more things. And also, we'll have a time for question and answer as well after the video and all of that. So you can be thinking if you have any questions about Kenya or about the ministry there. So go ahead and show that video at this time. Thank you.
Jambo, we are Daniel and Mary Simonson, his missionaries to Kenya, East Africa.
Kenya, a land of gospel opportunity. Located on the equator along the east coast of the great continent of Africa, Kenya provides a welcome climate for agriculture, tourism, and more. From its white sandy beaches to its vast savannas, Kenya is a beautiful country to live and serve the Lord in. Despite some unrest in the recent decades, Kenya is a peaceful country and wide open to the spreading of the gospel. However, despite being a Christian nation, it is really Christian in name only. African traditional religion continues to lurk in the shadows, and Islam is on the rise. The Pentecostal health and wealth movement is rampant. Catholicism is everywhere, and although there are clusters of independent Baptist churches, the need is great for many more to be started.
As a missionary kid, I was raised in a Christian home and heard the gospel regularly. One day, as a 7-year-old boy, I asked my dad how to be saved. I began to realize that praying a prayer could not save me, that going to church for every service could not save me, that being a missionary and pastor's kid could not save me either. Once I realized that Jesus had already paid my sin debt on the cross, I called on the Lord and asked him to be my personal savior. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Having also been raised in a Christian home, I knew I was a sinner bound for hell, and I knew that I needed a savior. Now my parents and my siblings were all saved, and I knew they were going to heaven, and I wanted to go with them to heaven one day. But unfortunately, every time an invitation for salvation was given at church, I was always too shy to raise my hand or go forward. However, one time when our church was running a vacation Bible school, a VBS, I knew that I couldn't go back home the same. I couldn't go back home without being saved. So, being overwhelmed with conviction, I went to my sister and I told her that I wanted to get saved. Actually, I needed to get saved. And on that day, right outside the steps of my church, as a 9-year-old girl, I placed my entire dependence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save me.
Years later, the Lord brought us together, and we were appointed by Baptist World Mission in October of 2022 and married 2 months later. We are sent out of Mukwonago Baptist Church in southeastern Wisconsin. The Lord used 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24 to call me into full-time missions. The Bible says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it."
in my freshman year of Bible college, while Dr. Rick Flanders was preaching, God called me into missions. He gave me a desire to see souls saved and lives forever changed by the gospel. The Lord has given us a burden for missions in our homeland, specifically a calling for church planting through discipleship.
We believe that through the ministry of discipleship, church planting is the most successful. God has called us to take what we have learned growing up in ministry and in Bible college and to pass it on to the next generation, to train faithful men and women to serve the Lord and help others to do the same. We have been working with my parents at Trinity Baptist Church in the small town of Gatukuyu, about an hour northwest of the capital city of Nairobi. We have been serving at Trinity through music, Sunday school ministry, preaching, discipleship, and evangelism, and more. And we are burdened to start churches in the regions beyond Gatukuyu as well. We desire to see many autonomous local churches started in the future as God leads. The regions beyond Gatukuyu include towns such as Mangu, Makwa, Kamwangi, Gatundu, and so many more towns in need of Bible-believing churches.
Please pray for us that God would continue to stir the passion for souls in hearts, that our support would be raised quickly, and that God would use us to start many churches in Kenya in the years ahead.
Our ministry goals for the future are to plant local churches in the regions beyond Gatukuyu, to disciple and train men and women in these churches to serve the Lord and reproduce their churches in other areas, and to see whole families reached with the gospel. Would you partner with us in seeing the gospel go forward in Kenya? Would you pray for us as we continue to serve the Lord in Gatukuyu and beyond? Thank you, and God bless.
All right, so we are burdened for church planting through discipleship, and just so important, and seeing people saved, but not seeing people saved just for the sake of numbers or anything like that, but to see people growing and having that same desire to disciple others and to see other churches started. And so that is really our burden for Kenya. On the back table there, there are a number of prayer cards. Feel free to grab one of those. And on the back of the prayer card, there is a link to our website, and it's called thesimonsons.com. And you can go on there and see many pictures and so much more information on that website as well. And all of our prayer letters are there also. And actually, just earlier this week, we put out our latest prayer letter, and that's on there if you'd like to read that. Also on the table is a clipboard for you able to sign up for updates, for those email updates. And we send one out about every 2 months at this point, and we'll be increasing that later on as well. And so feel free to check out those things. Also on the table is some pamphlets from Baptist World Mission with just some great information about praying for missionaries and some different things there that you can feel free to check out as well. This time, we'll go ahead and have some time for question and answer. If you have any questions about Kenya or about our ministry, feel free to ask at this time. We'll be first with a question this morning. Yes, ma'am. Just two. Yeah, just English and Swahili. And just all the different tribes there in Kenya have their own dialects, etc. But if you know Swahili, you can basically communicate with everyone there. And so actually our church right now is all in Swahili. But it kind of depends on where you are in Kenya, because we do have missionary friends there with the church just 25 minutes or so away from us, and it's all in English. But if you know English and Swahili, then you're pretty much good to go in Kenya. Yes, sir. Yep. It does, yeah. So Somalia is technically a closed country, so it would be different in trying to get in there as a missionary to reach there. So yes, there's usually a good amount of tension along that border with Somalia. But there are pockets of Muslim influence in Kenya. But again, it depends on where you are. So where we are, there's really none, no mosques or anything. But of course, closer to Nairobi and some different places along the coast of Kenya, you get more of that Muslim influence. But we do feel at peace there and very open to just do ministry. So very good. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. How many people? About 56 million people. Yeah, and Kenya is slightly smaller than the state of Texas. But yeah, 56 million people. And the capital city of Nairobi has about 5.5 million there. So, very good. Yes, sir.
We get a question about the border with all those countries of unrest. So is the border fairly closed down? I mean, is it, if you say it's Somalians, is it Somalians, can they get into your country as well?
It would depend. I'm sure there's a process they have to go through. But we do see them. There are a good number of them around Nairobi and such. As for the other countries around there, we have pretty good relations with all of them, Uganda, Tanzania, Ethiopia, etc. So it's just that one border where there's been tension because there's some Muslim groups, militant groups that come in from there into Kenya in the past. But not necessarily. Actually, English is her first language as well. But yeah, so I was adopted so young that English was my first language right away. And my brother and I kind of learned Swahili in school, but also in just playing with friends who didn't know English. And so we picked it up pretty quickly, playing soccer and different things. So, yes. All right. Yes, Pastor. Yeah, we've been serving. There's about 20, 30 people right now where we are. And the majority of what we're seeing in our church now are children. And so actually one of our ministry goals that was mentioned in the video is to see whole families reached with the gospel. And a part of the reason we put that in there was because we're seeing about 30 to 40 children coming every week to Sunday school. But most of them come without their parents. And so we are really burdened to see God use that Sunday school ministry to reach more and more adults. And that's really been a challenge in that area. But yeah, not a ton of people, but it's growing slowly. So, yes, ma'am.
Read about Somali pirates out.
Sure.
Is that any problem?
I don't think so. I've not looked into that or anything. But I have not heard of that really at all. So, yeah. Yes, sir.
You mentioned the health and prosperity.
Yep.
And also with the prayer about it.
Yep.
You face a lot of headwinds in sharing the gospel with those who are
Yeah. Yeah, we have had a few people. We had a couple of people come into church for a while who had come out of that kind of church and just a lot of pressure that comes with that movement. But yes, they've been pretty rampant in Kenya. People like Benny Hinn have been there probably 3 times now, doing major crusades with all sorts of religious leaders there. But yes, we do run into people who've come out of that. And just that whole Pentecostal movement is very rampant and kind of infiltrates into many different churches there. So, yes. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
I know that in South Africa was like a lot of white population.
Yeah.
Population. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have no clue about any other African countries. Is there some white population in Kenya?
No one from Kenya. No, so all Kenyans would be black, but in terms of population, you know, there's a number of missionaries there from the States. But yeah, that'd be different than South Africa, for sure. So. Yes, sir.
Okay, so the disinterest by the adults, is it just due to apathy, or is it they trusting in another religion?
A little of both. Yeah, so a lot of apathy, especially in that area. Or at the same time, you have churches that don't have anything for kids, and they'll just kind of send them outside. And so they're willing to send their kids to Sunday school. At the same time, you have people who maybe their family has always been Catholic or something else, and so they find it very difficult. Maybe there's peer pressure to kind of leave that and go to something else. So those are kind of the main challenges that we face there. Our church is kind of right in the middle of a number of homes and apartments and different things. And some of those places, you just kind of see that peer pressure, so to speak, where someone doesn't want to be the only one coming to our church, and what is everyone else right here going to say? And so we run into that quite a bit as well, especially in that region. So. Yes, sir. I don't know specifically, but around Nairobi, there are good amounts of churches. And we do have missionary friends there who've started churches. And through the Bible College, there are a number of more churches being started. So it's a good amount. But at the same time, as I mentioned, there's areas where there's just nothing. You can drive for hours in certain places and not see any good church. So still a lot of work to be done. Yes. Any other questions? Yes, Pastor. Yeah, really door-to-door. Evangelism is very effective there. And you can still go out just on the street and talk to people. We usually do it on Saturdays. It's kind of our main evangelism time. And so just either going out on the street or just going house by house, talking to people. And are they willing to speak to you? They're willing to stop and take time to talk to you. And so that is all still very effective there. At the same time, as we mentioned, very burdened for discipleship, we'll often be able to talk to someone, and even if they don't get saved during that conversation, we're able to set up an appointment to talk next week and have a Bible study and then go through the gospel that way. So yeah, really just door-to-door is very effective there. So. Very good. Yes, ma'am.
Is there anyone besides your family who goes out?
A few others, yeah, that go out with us on soul winning. Not many. I'm still trying to get more people in the church to go soul winning and such. But yes, there is a couple in our church that have gone out with us from time to time, and we discipled them in our home for like 6 months or so. And so always looking to see more and more people make that commitment to go out with us. So. Very good. Any other questions? Going once, going twice. Yes, sir. Yep. Yeah, it could be either or, and we're praying about, you know, the church we're currently working in now. We started 8 years ago, and my dad is the pastor there now, but getting up there in years. He's 78 years old, but still preaching and everything, but we may end up taking over that first and then eventually going to start new churches, but it just, we're kind of play it by ear and see how God leads with all of that, but at the same time, those areas that were mentioned in the video, all those different towns, they're not that far away, but far enough away that people without vehicles can't come to our church. And so at the same time, we could, you know, keep ministering where we are and start Bible studies and maybe a preaching point at some other places. So all the options are just on the table, and we'll see. But where we want to go isn't too far away, so we could do both at some point. Very good. Any other questions? Yes. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we're at 45%. Yeah, so. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? All right, I do have a short challenge from the Word of God that we could look at for a few minutes before we break to get ready for the morning service. And so we'll go ahead and take our Bibles and go to John and chapter number 15. John and chapter number 15. And if you do think of something else to ask, feel free. I'll be around this morning and a little bit after the service as well. If you have any other questions about Kenya or about our ministry there. But John and chapter number 15. And I'll begin by just reading verses 1 through 8. And you can follow along with me as I read John 15, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And over the last number of years, the Lord has really led me on a journey of learning to abide in Christ, and really learning to meet with God and walk with him every single day. And abiding in Christ is really the key to walking with God. There's no other way to have a vibrant, genuine relationship with God. A couple of years before I began traveling on deputation, my wife and I had the blessing of discipling a young couple in our church by the name of Timothy and Purity. And we studied verse by verse through the letter of 1 John. But while we were doing that, we found just a lot of connection between 1 John and John 15, and so much overlap and truth about abiding in Christ. And this is really what the Christian life is all about. And so many different things we could see here. But let's just take a few moments to look at some key results of abiding in Christ. And we need to realize that God commands us as Christians to abide in Christ. Through the Word of God and through prayer, we can walk with the Lord. And you know what? After Jesus ascended up to heaven, some of his disciples wrote down his words and his works. Because even the disciples themselves were never going to stay close to the Lord without his word. And you read through the book of Acts and you find so many different prayer meetings going on. And the disciples and those who followed Christ after his ascension spent a lot of time praying and being in the word of God. It is so important. It is necessary because we are to bear much fruit as believers. And Jesus said that nothing can be accomplished without him. The church cannot be built without Christ. No one can be saved without Christ. No one can be faithful to church without abiding in Christ. It's a command for us this morning. And as believers, we cannot live the Christian life day by day without the one who gives us life to begin with. And there are key results for the Christian who faithfully abides in Christ. Number one, very simply, bearing much fruit. Bearing much fruit. The Bible says here in John 15, And verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, and no more can ye except ye abide in me. And then verse number 5 at the end there, for without me ye can do nothing. If you notice, verse number 7 is a promise from the word of God. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Such an important promise from the word of God. And if you think of the disciples of Christ at this time, Jesus is meeting with them in the upper room, all the way back from John 13, 14, and continuing on through here, chapter 15, etc. The disciples of Christ had been with him, and they had seen Jesus bearing fruit all the time and showing them an example to follow. Think of John chapter 3, Jesus wins Nicodemus to himself. John chapter 4, Jesus converts the city of Sychar through one woman at Jacob's well. John chapter 5, Jesus heals a man at the pool of Bethesda. John chapter 6, Jesus feeds more than 5,000 people and teaches that he's the bread of life. John chapter 7, Jesus promises living water for anyone who believes on him. John chapter 8, Jesus forgives a woman caught in adultery. John chapter 9, Jesus heals a blind man. John chapter 10, Jesus teaches that salvation is for eternity and we're kept in his hands forever. John chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and we find that he is the resurrection and the life. John chapter 12, Jesus enters Jerusalem and teaches about his upcoming crucifixion. John chapter 13, Jesus begins this meeting with his disciples in the upper room. John chapter 14, we find Jesus teaching that he's the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 15, Jesus teaches how to abide in him. And we could go chapter by chapter through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And all we would find is that Jesus spent his ministry bearing much fruit all the time, making spiritual accomplishments for the kingdom of God, bearing fruit, influencing people spiritually. The disciples had been there through all of it. And now it was their turn to turn around and do the same thing. Now it was their turn to abide in Christ, to be that testimony and that influence to other people. You know, I'm speaking to children today and young people as well. You can abide in Christ as well. This is for all believers. I have a different message that is in a series that I did about abiding in Christ, and it's entitled, Abiding in Christ is for Every Christian. This is not some theological truth that is just for adults who have been saved many years. No, abiding in Christ is for every child, young person, and adult. As a saved person, we need to be abiding. We need to be walking with the Lord every single day. God wants each and every one of us to learn how to stay close to him, to be in the Word of God, to meet with God every day. My brother and I, when we were very young, we were taught how to read the Bible and to pray every day. We started with just 10 verses from the Bible every day and began learning how to pray and how to make a prayer list and pray for others. And little did we know that we were being taught how to abide in Christ and how to stay close to the Lord. You see, the Christian life is not just for Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night. The Christian life is Monday and Tuesday and every day of the week, no matter what it is that we're doing, making sure that we're close to the Lord. And as Jesus was always led by the Spirit of God throughout his ministry, even so now the disciples needed to be led by the Spirit as they worked for God. And now it was time for them to abide in Christ so that they could bear much fruit. Bearing much fruit, one result of abiding in Christ. Another result, very simply, is that God is glorified. God is glorified. If you notice there, John 15 and verse number 8, the Bible says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." It is so important. Oftentimes I've heard this truth talked about, but they kind of leave out verse number 8. But it is so important because we exist for the glory of God. That is why we are here today. Now, the reason we are alive today is to bring glory to God in whatever it is that we're doing. And we'd better get used to glorifying God on this earth, because when we get to heaven, that's all we'll be doing, is bringing glory and praise to God. We are here as believers to live lives for His glory. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." Our lives are not for our own credit, but to lift ourselves up in any way as believers. We are here for the glory of God. Think about this. If we must do everything in life to God's glory, then that means we must abide in Him every day, because God is glorified when we abide in Christ. And that is what our lives are supposed to be all about. Go with me to a few other verses in the Bible. Galatians and chapter number 6. Galatians and chapter number 6. And verse number 14. One of the letters written by the Apostle Paul. And you think of all that the Apostle Paul did, all the churches he started, all the missionary journeys he went on, all that he accomplished, we could say, in the ministry. Paul would have had every reason to glory in himself, to take some credit for what he's doing in ministry. But what does he say here? Galatians 6, verse 14. The Bible says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." There is no glorying in anything except the work of Christ. We are here to the glory of God. Look with me in Philippians chapter number 1, verses 10 and 11, a few pages over. Philippians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, "That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." In other words, as believers, children, young people, adults, we are here to live righteous lives to the glory of God. That is what we are to do as believers. You know, many Christians struggle with, you know, what is it that God wants me to do? What is His will for my life? What is His plan for my future? Well, one thing very simply is to glorify God right where you are. Whatever it is that you are doing now, wherever God has you, live to His glory. We are called unto His kingdom and to His glory, bearing much fruit and glorifying God. Just a few simple results of abiding in Christ. And you know, when you think about missions and spreading the gospel of Christ and being a missionary and all these things, this is where it begins: walking with the Lord every single day. I believe there's no effective missions, there's no effective missionary who fails to spend time with the Lord, who fails to abide in Christ. And may we all be reminded this morning and challenged that the Christian life is 24/7. And all that we do in ministry and whatever it is that we may be involved in, when it comes to church, when it comes to so many different ministries, when it comes to a college or school, start your day with the Lord. Make sure that you're abiding in him so that then he can use us to be that influence and testimony and witness to other people. Abiding in Christ is for every Christian. It's the key to missions. This is where it all begins, right here. Now let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you just for some simple reminders this morning of abiding in Christ. Lord, I want to pray for all the children here this morning, all the teenagers, all the young people, for all of us as adults, Lord, as believers, help us to learn amidst the busyness of life to take time to meet with you, to take time to abide, to make sure that whatever it is that we're doing all week, that we are glorifying God and bringing glory to him through our actions, through our testimony. God, I pray that you would use us in a great way in ministry, but help us to start with making sure that we're walking with you every single day. God, I pray that you would bless now as we prepare for the morning service. Pray that you would work in hearts today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Christ is fountainhead of all beauty and goodness, everything that we need. May we find in him. Look to him at all times for everything. And we will be abiding in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for that challenge. Looking forward to hearing Brother Simonson preach in our morning service because he is going to be traveling across Kansas to be in Newton for this evening. So if you want to talk to him, you'll need to do that in this service. And because of that, we'll end up taking a special love offering after the morning service today. So just want you to be aware of that to bless him and to speed him with the right hand of fellowship that we can give to him on his ministry. So thank you very much. You guys are dismissed for the morning service.